Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
computer-assisted research papers. This is using your computer to actually assist you put the sentences together, assist you put the paragraphs together, assist you actually. It's not like a word processor. It actually, you have the sentences in individual cells in a spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet then constructs the paragraph and stuff like that. I suppose to the average person, it would take nothing to take it apart, but doing it this way ensures that you each sentence has its purpose in the sentence. I suppose people instructed with it. Just thinking about it, it just sets it up such that I can move around and actually find the best software for it. When I say the best software, it's taken a little while going down the speech-to-text line. So at the end of this, you print it, and at the end of it, you copy it to a web page. The web page then downloads an MP3, and the MP3 then goes to the web. This is pretty straightforward. And what it's done is, I suppose, it's more like a teaching guide for me writing essays and stuff like that. So essentially what I've done is I've listened online to an essay writing guide, which specified certain do's and don'ts. The do's were converted to mathematical formulas, which I put into a spreadsheet, and then rather than correcting it, I actually put in Google Sheets the actual code, which meant that there was punctuation and a gap between everything, sorted everything out, and then reading it through. And so that's produced that rather well. And what it's meant is that what's sort of happened is I used to write, follow ideas up and engineer. Now I've sort of can write and realise it's going pear-shaped, and realizing, I've sort of gravitated to the abstract structural idea, and then I can pull back, starting from the abstract structural idea. So when you write it sufficiently, you go down to the content level, or the structure of the content level, and you follow a trajectory, and that trajectory seems very obvious to you, but you really have to pull back, put that trajectory up the front, and basically have a formula for what you're going ahead. So let's say, given that a lot of people don't... this is very interesting. What does it say? Christmas, 54 days to Christmas. My goodness, Father. Someone's got a big counter up there. Okay, so I'm driving off to gym, so you can see that type of stuff. So you can hear me do odd comments about the traffic and things like that, but it's not too far from the gym. So what's happened is that there's these things. You put a lot of effort in, you finally get the Arduino working, put a lot of effort in, finally get soldering up. You know, these very, very, very tiny victories, just so amazingly tiny to go forward now. And here, put a huge amount of effort into this, and it means sort of the Arduino doesn't do much, but it gives you microsecond timing, which allows you to go ahead. Or this doesn't do much, but it makes the production of the essay much faster, and it's just a small improvement which allows me to go off and actually add in the hyperstructure. And for me, it's sort of a bit of a strange thing. I've got to fight through the verbose rambling which comes in with a stroke. But if you didn't know it, you would think someone trying to speak quantum mechanics was a rambling idiot, or someone speaking advanced theories is a rambling idiot. To primitive natives, what sounds highly sophisticated is completely, chicken shit to them. So I've got this combination of trying to get through the stroke, no support, putting science. So I really hope that the advanced scientific theory is here. Now, of course, I'm going to the gym and I'm going to fight through that, do a couple of hours. It looks like it's 9:30 at night, be midnight at least by the time. I don't intend to come home before midnight. I'll put in a few hours, at least 2 hours, in at the gym. It's a sort of a real punch. And I don't know, it's so hard. Sometimes you go backwards. Most recently, when I listened to my podcast back, I thought, oh gosh, you are just so crap, just rambling on the place. And there's this time when you're really tired and the words just don't come from you, and there's just this silence, and it's just, oh my god, because I know what's happening is my head and brain is ticking, but nothing's coming out. So it seems to be like a bad tap. You turn, sometimes rubbish comes out, sometimes bubble comes. It's sort of like bad plumbing for the ideas. It's sort of spurting out, and hopefully if I get enough practice, it'll be this smooth, like luxury bath faucet. At the moment, I've got sort of more outside faucet you might find in a farm, which really sticks for a while, and it all comes out, and it's water everywhere. So that's my view of speaking. Trying to get computer aided writing is a bit like a automatic sprinkler system. Yes, you can water things, but it does it automatically. Now, does it do it automatically well? No, I think if you hand water everything precise, it'll get it absolutely right, but you're not going to water a whole crop in. I suppose that's the best I'm doing. Now, that's it at the moment. I'm at the gym. Just absolutely shit. Feeling shit here. And you know what I think? I think I am an absolute turd shit idiot. Well, I'm at the gym, but now I'm going to have to drive all the way back because Dick the Brains myself have actually forgotten the key to get into the gym. There's a little marker, so I'll get here. You get the second half of this. There you go. Now just double check that I'm not doing it. Now I'm in this car, right, and you can't hear it, but there's this bloody mosquito going like this, and of course I'm on blood thinner warfarin. Now just check I'm not going to knock a street walker, not a white walker. This is people who dress. I know what I'll do. I think I just will. Probability isn't with me enough. I'm just going to see. I'm going to experiment what happens if I walk down the street in asphalt grey in the middle of the night, and with people like myself driving about. But hopefully it's there. There is a story that I can say who, but a friend used to like wearing camouflage gear. So he wore camouflage gear on a bike to school, got run over, and when I told it to someone seriously, they just laughed because it was such a take on survival of the fittest. You know, how you develop camouflage, you won't be predated, but now cars sort of run over people. And I suppose it happens a lot of the place here. Yeah, some of them, there you go for brain shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, there we go. Oh, come on. Spare me. Whoa. Sorry, this is me turning right. You're getting a whole serve of additional extra things that happened here. One, a dickhead, forgets the key to the gym. Two, that's an unexpected thing. Two, I'm captured in my podcast dome with an aggressive Aussie mosquito. I should, just before I go in, say, way back in army, we were in the Royal National Park, which is really, it's a benign national park. Nowadays, it's a benign national park. And I was told, firstly, the thing is crawling with leeches. And, this is only short distance outside Sydney. So this is, but I was told, oh, look, you better watch out. People have been there for years. for the Wallaroo State grain. And I don't understand why it's... I suppose there's a Wallaroo State Forest. Royal National Park, I suppose it must. But, thinking back, and I said, what the heck is that? And I said, oh, don't worry, that dust, they'll come in. And sure enough, these amazingly big mosquitoes just flew in. It was a bit like Apocalypse Now, but mosquitoes flying in. They weren't sort of playing Rudder Valkyries, but there's this buzz, and you just got eaten alive. Of course, there's this very aggressive insect killer that they give you in the army. And I'm sure it's not legal now, and I'm sure it's been banned, because I used it when I was in Canada. I had a bit of it and smuggled it with me in Canada. And, no worries, midges. And, this, I don't know if you know about Canada. Canada's the place where there's so many insects, the Americans couldn't be bothered invading it. That's essentially what happened in Canada. But there was so many insects on me. And I put this, we call it fuck-off juice, F-O-J. You've got any F-O-J, mate? And absolutely, if you've got any plastic obstacle, you just pour out it and it just melts it. I had a... back then in the day, a transistor radio, so you could listen to the news, fire warnings and weather stuff. If you're a seat, you may as well get the transistor radio, the story of what's going on. Because in a tent, the radio's going, they can't tell it's there, or whatever it was. But I had the FOJ, and all the Canadian insects just landed on me. They hadn't encountered, apparently hadn't encountered FOJ before. And they just died en masse on me. Now, that's, you want an insect repellent. You don't want you to be the site of a mass slaughter of insects. Now, you're going to get the second part of me going back. And, this is going to just kill me. That's another sort of... I'm really exhausted. And there's nothing worse than... And when you're exhausted, the walker software, so I go on a treadmill, I do brain training on a treadmill, and that doesn't work. When you're in the shit, it's the shit that really happens. So, I'm going to stop here. I'm sure that the mosquito is going to stay in here waiting for me to return, because it's pretty intelligent. I'm off again, having picked up the bloody key on into drive, so you'll hear it all over again. Now, it's very rare that you actually get a timing or a thing in life, so often happenstance is that I'll do something and people will insist something else has happened. So this one example that Christmas dinner, the turkey on the barbecue. Yeah, so you put it in Australia, you put the turkey in the barbecue. Yeah, like that. Of course, the gas bottle ran out, and then it says, "Oh, you shit!" And then I found out, of course, that the regulator had perished, and it was just, it was just venting gas, LPG, back up into the atmosphere to help the old greenhouse effect and stuff like that. However, in here, I went back and I said, "You've been gone for an whole hour. Absolutely, I can prove." And of course, I couldn't say, "Well, I can prove I haven't been out for an hour." Because I've been doing a podcast, so I'm going across there. But it's always interesting to see that type of stuff, where you've got to really cut down and focus all the time. Like I'm focusing at the moment. It's 9:47. There's a quarter of an hour. How to go. And I've talked to you about this generalized thing of slogging away, and I don't know, you slog away, slowly get things together, like the podcast thing. There's I used to do the Podomation, all the software getting it across, and of course now the beautiful thing is that Audacity's it. There's the basic, the beauty of online text straight to MP3 is that it's beautiful in terms of a full couple of minutes, a few couple of paragraphs is only 1 megabyte of fairly high quality MP3, beautifully sampled. You just can't reject it. So it's a really interesting thing in that rehab. You've got to really cut things down to really small tasks all the time, and then if you keep on going at the small tasks, it eventually builds together. And it's not that some problems go away, it's just that the problems get put into perspective. As I said before, someone talking about a completely new way of doing something sounds as if it sounds the element of madness. So if someone says introduce you, oh, by the way, he's a bit mad, they put their hand in front of their mouth so that you can't see them speaking. They'll just say, look, he's a bit mad. And then you say, oh, look, I'm here today to talk to you about a completely new object. That type of stuff. So you can really do it. So what can you do? You can just keep quiet. I often think of myself having experienced two worlds, the world of civilized research, where you've got a research institute, everything's built up for you, you're the prime child, and research now is a bit like Castaway. And this is with Hank. What is it? Hank. What's the American actor's name? Oh, God. Really? I do remember Wilson. The actor's name will come to me nonetheless. Or if I'm really stuck, I'll put in the Tom Hanks. There you go, Tom Hanks. There you go. Look, and there's obviously parts of my brain operating to get it. But yeah, I'm really doing Castaway. Is that right? Castaway, I think that's the name of the program. Castaway research, where you've actually got to struggle and light some fire. There's a scene at the end of Castaway where he's just sitting there looking at a cigarette lighter and saying, how easy is that? And so this is very much for me. I'm sort of coming out just slowly writing a sentence and he's slowly fixing everything together, a real effort to do it. And of course, you, my friend, are a sort of Wilson. Like when I'm speaking to my podcast audience, I may as well be speaking to a volleyball with hair growing out the front of it and a blooded hand for a face. It's that Wilson, and I definitely have that there. So the important thing is, I suppose to me, is the continuity and flow of speech. And then I've got to track that down when I'm doing a social situation, which they do actually have in this brain training. They do have social situations where you have to listen to conversation and confirm what's true and what's not and get things out. I've done the very first of those exercises and they're always very easy, and then they come out nightmare hard. Thanks a lot for listening. This time I will definitely say goodbye and just read you how long, if you've listened to this, you've been here 18 minutes. Thanks a lot, mate.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.